Welcome to the Spa Doctor Podcast. I'm Dr. Trevor Cates. We often talk about root causes on the Spa Doctor Podcast, and one of the root causes we sometimes talk about is hormone imbalance. Have you ever wondered if your hormones are the reason behind your health and your skin issues? Well, if you're a woman and you think your hormones may be out of whack, or if you're a woman over 30 and care about your health and want to age gracefully and have clean, glowing skin, you'll want to watch this podcast. My guest is Dr. Anna Kabeka. She is an Emory University trained gynecologist and obstetrician, a menopause and sexual health expert, and international speaker and educator. She is a wealth of information on hormones. And so I really hope you enjoy this podcast today, because we're covering how your hormones change throughout your cycle and your life, and how these changes impact your health and your skin. She covers how each hormone plays a role, and Dr. Kabeka also shares diet and lifestyle changes that you can start today that will help balance your hormones. She also touches on bioidentical hormones and how they may or may not be able to help you with your skin and health challenges. So please enjoy this interview. Dr. Anna, it's so great to have you on my podcast.
Great to be here, Trevor. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited about our topic and getting into it.
I know. I'm excited too. So I know you were on my Glowing Skin Summit a while back. And that was fun to have you on that.
Yeah, that was great. There was a lot of great information out there.
Yeah, perfect. So today we're talking about hormones and skin and how our hormones as women, how our hormones change as we age and how that impacts our skin. So let's just dive into this and tell everyone how our hormones, let's talk about first, like through the month, through our cycle, how do our hormones change in a way that can impact our skin?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to, because one of the big things that I think that we worry about as we age is the loss, you know, the wrinkles, really, right? So we think about the wrinkles, the loss of the elasticity of our skin, the decreased tone, the dimming, you know, not as fresh, youthful look. And so there's a big hormonal connection to that. I know you've talked about in other podcasts, inflammation and the role inflammation plays. And that's huge for sure. Toxins, inflammation. That's why we have to keep them so far away from the skin. That also affects our hormones. And on a cyclical basis, like just starting out, our cycle, our hormones fluctuate throughout the month, throughout the cycle. And this is an important naturally occurring phenomenon. So we start out the first day, you know, to go in through the menstrual cycle with our hormones, the first day we start bleeding, we call that cycle day one. So the first day you start, you know, spotting, bleeding for your menses, that's cycle day one. At that point in our cycle, our hormone levels are typically at their lowest. And that we're talking about reproductive hormones, including estrogen, progesterone, and DHEA and testosterone, other two important hormones for reproduction. They're slightly lower, but they're pretty steady throughout the cycle, except for testosterone. We'll see a peak mid-cycle with ovulation, which gives us that drive. And testosterone is really important hormone that's overlooked in so many women in women's health situations, but it's really important. If we consider that testosterone is a huge muscle-building hormone, we need that peak mid-cycle, and it's important to improve collagen, improve muscle, help with the elasticity of the tissue. And if we are suppressing that hormone with birth control pills, we're not getting that natural increase of muscle integrity that we need. So at that time of ovulation, typically somewhere between day 12 to 14, but it depends on your cycle, we'll get a peak in hormones, estrogen, progesterone will start to rise once the once you've had ovulation, we'll start to see an increase in progesterone. We get that peak in testosterone, and then that steady increase in progesterone towards the latter half of our cycle. And many times, especially in our mid-30s, we start to see some hormone imbalances here because of a couple things. One, stress affecting our reproductive hormones, specifically progesterone, and creating a decline in progesterone, a decrease maybe also in DHEA. And that's going to affect us with symptoms of PMS, irregular bleeding, spotting in that latter half of the cycle or irregularly throughout the cycle. Heavier periods can all be a result of these hormone imbalances that can occur too as we're aging and have less eggs being released from the ovaries, as well as the other factors that can interfere. So that's our monthly fun cycle.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's so intricate and detailed, and everybody's a little bit different too, right? And you know, it's interesting what you mentioned about stress impacting these hormones, and you know, I think a lot of times people don't realize the connection between our other hormones, like adrenal hormones and thyroid hormones, and how they all work together. And they may not change as much during the month, but like you said, like us being really stressed can play a role, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I always think of the pictures of the Clintons at the beginning of the presidency to the end of the, you know, second term, right? There was a huge, like, 20, 30 years of aging that went on there. It's stress-induced aging, right? So, I mean, I think that is a big factor, and it does create havoc on our system. So it, you know, pacing ourselves, replenishing ourselves, taking rejuvenation times for ourselves, those are really critical pieces of self-care that we just have to create a discipline and practice around.
Right, absolutely. And so when it comes to a woman's cycle going through the month, it also can cause people to break out more at certain times. Can you explain the hormonal changes that cause women to break out at certain times of the month?
Yeah, definitely. So also that you know, increase in testosterone can increase the oils from the sebaceous glands, and that hormone, testosterone, can increase those breakouts. So that's an important part to understand. But again, it has an important function in our cycle, in our human anatomy and physiology. That's really important. But we see that testosterone increase in causing an increase in acne. But typically, what aggravates that are hormone disruptors in our foods, such as dairy. I know that in working with, you know, thousands of young women with their menstrual cycle and cyclic acne, it is really critical to get them off dairy. And doing that makes a huge difference in helping their body detox their hormones naturally. So there are several things that can impair natural detoxification of our hormones, but also considering that testosterone under stress, also naturally depending on our enzyme and our genetic makeup, can convert to dihydrotestosterone, a very active form of testosterone that is typically the, you know, chief culprit for that acne.
Yeah, so dihydrotestosterone, also called DHT, right? And what are some things that people can do naturally to help with that rather than doing birth control pills that suppress our testosterone in a way that's going to create other problems, right? But there are some herbs and things you can do naturally, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I use always in my practice, and we know helps for, it's a great for your immune system, great for skin, and it helps decrease the enzyme that creates that really rapid conversion from testosterone to dihydrotestosterone, and that's zinc. And typically I recommend 50 to 60 milligrams a day of a high quality, highly absorbable zinc. I think that's important. It brings in one of my favorite superfoods, which is oysters, which are high in zinc and good DHA and good nutrients. And so that's a big one for sure. Other ingredients that we've used in my practice to help your body detox, right? We've got to cleanse the liver. So milk thistle and you know, things that really promote healthy liver detox, a good amount of greens and enzymes, nutrients. We use, you know, my product Mighty Maca. So maca is a great adrenal adaptogen, can really help promote hormonal balance and support your body's natural processes. But adding in, you know, extra greens, alkalinizers, you know, cat's claw herb, which is great to really decrease inflammation and get to the root of the problem. Sometimes with inflammation as a culprit is a key ingredient. Turmeric, which has so many benefits for the brain, for the skin, for the eyes, it's really very beneficial. The other thing that I use in patients, like supplement-wise, is vitamin A supplementation as well, and a good combination of vitamin A supplement with or vitamin A rich foods, working with that in your diet as well, along with zinc. And then again, trying to block that conversion, some mung bean and Swiss oats are a good combination in a capsule that we've used to help block that conversion as well. So we have to go that way, but typically I start with zinc.
Awesome. Great. Thank you. And then also throughout our lives, our hormones change too, not just the month or the, you know, our cycle, but throughout our lives. And there are different issues that arise with the skin related to those hormone changes, like in puberty, there's a lot of times acne breakouts. And then acne will reoccur at certain times throughout our lives. You know, sometimes people think, oh, I'm not a teenager anymore, so I don't have to worry about acne. But then they get a return of it or have acne if they've never had it before. So let's talk about some of those changes that occur with hormones that cause the acne breakouts.
Yeah, and it's just not fair, is it, right? It's just not fair. But that brings me to just mention again at that time of ovulation, and we'll have it sporadically throughout our lives, even in the perimenopause, menopause. But ovulation, our features are much more glowing and enticing. And there's been several studies that looked at images of women at different times of their cycle. And ovulation, that peak of fertility, are the most recognized attractive time periods for us. So I think that's really cool. So recognizing that it does matter, ovulation, you know, that natural hormone cycle does matter.
Okay, and, right. So that's when we need to schedule our photo shoots and that hot date that we've been waiting for.
Yes, or after, you know, like doing video after sex, right? So, I mean, that's a good time too. You've got oxytocin up and that's another anti-ager and there's a radiance and glow that goes with that. So, but yeah, definitely ovulation is one of the times you are perceived to be the most attractive, and that's pretty cool. So as we age, to answer your question more on as we age, what's happening, and we definitely see a decline in progesterone first before we start to see that intermittent cyclical roller coaster of estrogen, kind of this ride that we go on, which creates a combination of moodiness and hot flashes and, you know, this overwhelming feeling like we don't belong in our bodies anymore. And I hear that from so many women. And that coincides, like if we look at the transition from of menopause to the time when we started our periods called menarche, I mean, those are huge transition factors in our life. And these hormone fluctuations take some getting used to for our body. And we do have to create an environment that supports, you know, a very nurturing environment that supports our body's ability to adapt and to go through this very natural physiologic transition, which is important for the, you know, next third of our life, so to speak, or next half of our life. So we'll see these declines in progesterone, estrogen, testosterone, DHEA starts to decline in our 20s. And again, very important hormones, the DHEA and testosterone, we know are muscle building hormones. Progesterone is important for our brain, for our skin, for our breast, for our hair. You know, think of pregnancy, high levels of progesterone, estriol, and that beautiful pregnancy hair. And so those are really important hormones that tend to diminish as we age. And we can definitely see because of this fluctuation, because this drop of the mother hormone, the protective hormone progesterone, we get these imbalances too. And we'll see some acne, we'll see some changes to the skin, not just the loss of elasticity, the wrinkles around the eyes, you know, we'll see that loss of, you know, we'll see that loss in other places as well. But, you know, I think when we're looking at those hormonal changes as we age, we have to consider there's a lot more that is happening than just the decline of estrogen. And in our medical systems, we're like, okay, well, you're in menopause, you need estrogen. If you have a uterus, you need a progestin, preferably a bioidentical progesterone only, not preferably. And so those, but our standard care doesn't look typically past, very much past estrogen. That's a, you know, that's a minor hormone in the grand scheme of what's happening with our hormones.
Right, right. I think it would be helpful if we went through some of the different hormones and talked about what they specifically do, especially when it relates to the skin. And, you know, as you're describing how it relates to the skin, you describe like what the hormone does because it's kind of an indirect result, right? So like estrogen, what role, you already talked about progesterone and how that plays a role in the skin, but what about estrogen? What does that do for the skin?
Estrogen does help with skin elasticity. And, you know, when we look at estrogen receptors, we certainly have estrogen receptors in our skin. We get estrogen is produced in our fat cells. We have other ways to produce estrogen outside of our ovaries. But estrogen is that feminizing hormone. On the effects of our uterus is that it increases the thickness of our uterine lining to help build that up. And it's that building, you know, it's that kind of hormone that really does lead to the feminization of us. Our breast tissue, breast development helps with that, and the softening of our features, so to speak.
And so as we age and our estrogen declines, around what age does that usually start, and what do people start to notice first?
Yeah, I think that we're seeing typically, you know, when I trained at Emory University 20 years ago, plus 20, some over 20 years ago, we looked at estrogen declines in the 40s, right? And now we really start to see it in the mid 30s. And I think there are several factors to that. You know, again, we talk about hormone disruptors, the chemicals in our environment, stress. So estrogen's decline is significantly related to our ovarian function, the function of our ovaries and our ability of our ovaries to have to produce multiple follicles every month and to lead to ovulation. So we definitely start to see the decline in the 30s, late 30s, early 40s for sure. And with that, we do start to see some loss of elasticity. We may note it's a combination here, but we may note that loss of elasticity. We'll see at the same time, you know, because with the estrogen decline, there's a higher testosterone to estrogen ratio than in our 20s. And so we'll see things like peach fuzz, and you will definitely see loss of elasticity and those fine lines and wrinkles coming in as a result as well.
But probably a higher sex drive too, if you're in the 30s, sometimes that happens as a result of some of the other changes, right?
Well, it can, depending on it, you know, again, the other things we're doing, the therapeutic lifestyle changes that are in our life, because a very common complaint is low sex drive, persistently low sex drive, because all the hormones are dropping and progesterone's dropped. And progesterone's an important hormone to feel good. When we don't have estrogen on board, we lack the receptivity, ability to be receptive to that, invitation for sex, the invitation for intercourse. The testosterone's important hormone, so in and of itself it's important, but without estrogen on board, we lack that receptivity, that feminine, okay, I'm in, you know, buy-in. We tend to lose that as we age when there's an imbalance.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And then what about testosterone? How does that play a role in our skin? It has to do with the collagen you mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. Collagen, muscle, like I always think of, you know, do you ever do these neck exercises? One of the things that you notice when people are aging is the neck muscles drooping, right? And it's been like I had a shoulder injury, so it's been over a year since I've done my boxing, but that's for whatever reason, boxing is very good to your neck. I think because you clench and it's just hitting a bag or whatever, not hitting a person. I'm not hitting people. So let me clarify, but, you know, so there are neck exercises. I had an aunt who lived to be 102 and she would always do the neck exercises. Do you know those?
No.
Okay. We should teach her. We teach the, yes, yes, today.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you're ooh, ah, ee, and then you kiss the ceiling, neck exercise. And this is what my Aunt Mary from New Bedford, Massachusetts had taught me when I was 20. Plus, she would always enter the door, you know, tapping her, you know, she would do her neck exercises, tapping her chin, stimulating her face. And she would do that every day in the morning and in the evening. And I think she used only Noxzema on her skin. It was ridiculous. She was gorgeous. But the neck exercises she showed me.
And she wasn't gorgeous because of the Noxzema. It was the other stuff that she did, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And just a smile and a delightful person, right? So it's ooh, you look up to the ceiling and ooh, ah, ee, up at the ceiling and kiss the ceiling. So ooh, ah, ee, and kiss. Or okay. You can do this ooh, ah, ee, and then kiss the ceiling.
Okay, ready?
You're stretching. Yeah, ready?
Okay.
Ooh, ah, ee. We'll do it again, just looking up.
Ooh, ah, ee. I love it.
And you'll feel it in your neck tomorrow. You will absolutely feel it in your neck tomorrow. So that's the neck exercise. But muscles are important. So we can't just expect our muscles to stay tight and firm on their own. You know, and I'm big on pelvic floor exercises. Those muscles are critically important for quality of life. But our neck muscles are just right up there. And so, again, that's important. But the loss of elasticity in our neck, in our chin, in, you know, our facial muscles, in our cheekbones, like how do we keep nice, round, youthful cheeks? You know, you've got to exercise them. And so that's a big part of it. But also, we tend to lose the collagen and the elasticity and the strength of the muscles when our testosterone declines, when our DHEA declines. So adding those back in, it's important. It's a piece of that. So muscle exercises, good nutrition, decreased stress, time to rejuvenate, lots of loving, good company, smiles, good friendships. That's what's key.
Great, great. And then when you mentioned progesterone before and its benefits, and you said it's good for the skin, how is progesterone particularly good for the skin?
Well, progesterone is the mother hormone. So when we look at progesterone as the mother hormone, that we will get DHEA, testosterone, estrogen from progesterone. So it's a hormone, you know, from cholesterol, we get progesterone and then we get these other hormones. So it's that essential piece to the puzzle. Without progesterone, we're not going to make DHEA. We're not going to make testosterone. We're not going to make much testosterone or estrogen as a result. So it's up there in that realm, but it's also really important to always oppose estrogen. There's a delicate balance between progesterone, estrogen, or other hormones. And that's critical. And in order for progesterone to work effectively in our brain, in our body, in our skin, we need vitamin D. We need sunlight, actually. We get more than vitamin D from the sun, but we need sunlight exposure to our skin to help with the, you know, catalyst of the hormone, you know, metabolism and receptors and all that magic that happens inside our body. But vitamin D is important to make sure that our hormones are working well. And this is something that I didn't really recognize until a couple years ago when I was really digging into the research on progesterone and oxytocin, and vitamin D kept popping up in all these places as so important for the hormone receptors. And that's one of the first things that I would recommend correcting in individuals. Number one, getting outside, getting earth's energy, getting sunlight, and then also making sure that our vitamin D levels are healthy, are optimized.
Okay. Great. Yeah. And there's a lot that we can do to support our hormones. So we've talked about what happens when they're low, and you've talked a little bit about how to balance them naturally. But there's a lot, I just want to emphasize, is there's a lot we can do naturally with our diet, lifestyle changes to support hormone balance. Because a lot of times people rush into, and I think bioidentical hormones definitely have their place, and I want to talk to you about that in a minute. But I think that there's a lot of times people are quick to jump to that without supporting the body first overall with a healthy diet and lifestyle, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you can't do one without the other. And very interestingly, I interviewed Dr. Edwin Lee yesterday, an endocrinologist, on my podcast, and we talked about, you know, how you know, I wouldn't prescribe hormones to someone who was driving through for meals. I mean, it really is important to have that lifestyle in check, or be willing to recognize that there's no magic wand. There's no pill that's going to make us perfect. There's, you know, it's work. It's our discipline. It's the disciplines and practice that we do on a daily basis that is going to create hormonal balance, that is going to, whether our body is producing it naturally or we're taking it from an exogenous source, how we use it in our body. Are we using it for our good? Or are we using it for our bad? And lifestyle is the determining factor, genetics and lifestyle.
And what do you think are some of the key things to do, lifestyle, diet, to help with balancing hormones?
Yeah. I think, you know, I work with a lot of menopausal women, and fine tuning, especially as our body shifts as we age, there's definitely a shift, right? I would say it's menopause, not McDonald's. And we have to, you know, what's happened to our body? And it's a hormone shift. We're doing everything good that we thought we were doing right. And what's the difference? What are the biggest difference? What will move the needle the most, so to speak? And that is definitely, it's reducing carbohydrates, getting alkaline, pushing our body into ketosis periodically. So that keto alkaline combination is getting alkaline following, you know, the 15 hour between dinner and breakfast, at least 3 times a week rule, having mini fast periodically. Things like that make a difference to us, because we need healthy fats, healthy oils, and we need to create an alkaline urinary pH, at least, you know, on a regular basis, to make sure that our body is living in harmony, not under stress and not in inflammation. And the other thing is, you know, again, so part of that is really reducing carbohydrates. So that's one, getting keto alkaline. The second is getting out in nature. Getting out in nature, like I mentioned, we get a lot more than vitamin D from the sun, the Earth's magnetic field, just getting into nature, getting barefoot in the grass. And that's hugely a daily practice of getting outside, you know, barefoot, otherwise exposing your body to the elements, is crucially beneficial. Again, there's no magic wand, there's no magic pill that will substitute that action in our lives. And that's huge. The third is certainly getting a good night's sleep. Getting a good night's sleep. And I would add in the fourth is have fun, get along with people, have fun, laugh, smile, enjoy yourself, take pleasure in the little things in life. And those are four really big things that do move the needle better than anything.
Right. And it's doing those things on a regular basis, right? You can't just start doing it one day and expect some sort of miracle to happen. It's an ongoing thing. And the sooner people start it, the better off they are. Like, the earlier, the better, but it's never too late. And then, you know, creating turning into a habit, turning it into a lifestyle rather than just something you do for a weekend or when you get a chance, right?
Absolutely. And we get off track. And I want to say this for our listeners, because this is something I struggled with in the last year. I mean, we had the hurricane here in last October, and I had 5 moves. The house I was living in had a chronic leak that we realized during the hurricane, with a major leak. So we had toxic mold that we dealt with. We moved 4 times, me and my daughters. And my father passed away, was sick, and then he passed away. It was a hard year. I mean, I totally got off track. And it's been a discipline and a practice to focus on what I'm doing right, what I'm able to do right on a consistent basis, versus what all the things that I've done wrong, right, in this time period. And, you know, eating out too much and doing these things, not getting into my normal routine. But when you can... So life does throw us curveballs, but it's important to get right back on track and to not beat ourselves up. Be our own best friend and our own best coach as we get right back on track, and recognize that even if we've fallen back, we feel like we've aged a decade or so in the last year, we can recover and turn that around. And there's no time limit on that.
Right. Great. Thank you for sharing that. So let's talk a little bit about bioidentical hormones. When are they a good idea, and kind of just an overview of, I know we could spend a lot of time just talking about bioidentical hormones, but just kind of like a little overview of them.
Yeah, I would say that in general, in my clinical experience, right, because I mean, we do have a tremendous amount of research continuing to emerge on using bioidentical hormones, hormones that are like our own physiologic molecular hormone in and of itself. So, having a prescription, we typically hear prescribing bioidentical hormones or what's over the counter, like progesterone. My clinical experience has led me to use progesterone as a first line hormone because, again, it's one of the thing, it's the mother hormone, and our body will pretty much take it where we need it to go in the right circumstances. So bioidentical progesterone, I typically use a topical cream for my clients. We have my formulation, which is Pure Balance PPR cream, and it's bioidentical progesterone and pregnenolone, not yam, not extracts. It's pure USP progesterone, pregnenolone, and that makes a difference. And so we use these, we typically recommend using that cyclically when we're having symptoms such as PMS and diet and lifestyle changes haven't conquered it. When we're having fibrocystic breast symptoms, moodiness, depression, anxiety, all of those. Progesterone's one of the best antidepressants I know when we're addressing the cause of imbalanced hormones. So I find that, again, bioidentical progesterone has a lot of safety and efficacy studies on it, and not to be confused with synthetic progestins, where we really do have alarm and worry and reason for concern. But not with bioidentical progesterone. So I typically recommend that, and definitely use it with your physician's guidance, and one who is in, really well aware, especially when we move on to bioidentical oral progesterone preparations, which again, using it at night can help us get a good night's sleep. So it's, the extra benefits there. I used a lot of progesterone in clients who had postpartum depression, using that to help them versus putting them on Prozac. So progesterone is probably one of my starter hormones to prescribe. And then DHEA. Again, many people, again, our DHEA starts to decline in our 20s. And so using that in either a compounded, typically in a compounded cream, because orally we metabolize first pass through our liver, and our liver is dealing with so much already, especially when our hormones are fluctuating. So I typically like to use cream or troches, prescribing troches, which dissolve in between the cheek and gum, and that's another good way, or vaginal preparations, or again, topical preparations in a cream. And so those are my preferences to use DHEA in that way. Combining testosterone in for, especially for, again, many reasons, when we're looking at hormone levels as we age, testosterone and estrogen are the other two hormones that I'll add in there, and definitely in that order, when I'm prescribing.
And then do you do sometimes do some estrogens like estriol or Aviast or as a cream?
Yeah, definitely. Typically, I like to use troches when I'm prescribing. So I typically would have a combination, very low dose. We don't need a lot of estrogen if we're really working with good, herbs and natural medicine and exercise. And if we're using progesterone and testosterone and or DHEA, because that will all convert to estrogen. So I found that I needed to use less and less and less. But typically a biased, and sometimes just E3, estriol in certain high-risk individuals to use that. And I typically would combine, like say for me, a typical prescription troche combination would be biased 1 milligram in an 80-20 E2 estradiol, sorry, 80% estriol and then 20% estradiol at that 1 milligram breakdown. So a small amount in that one troche, but with 1 milligram of testosterone, 1 milligram of DHEA, and maybe 30 milligrams or up to 60 milligrams of progesterone in the troche, and then have them do a quarter of the troche twice a day to start, morning and evening. And so the troches that I used to prescribe are these little square, they look like a chiclet. And so you can just easily break them into quarters and then start at that low dose. And a little bit goes a long way when it comes to bioidentical hormone prescribing. And our mouth is a great place to absorb it. But periodically, a couple times a week, I would have them use that troche vaginally to help with the integrity of the vaginal tissue. And there's other things that, you know, that was one area of my expertise was sexual health and vaginal prescribing. And so using that in that way for many reasons can have a huge benefit. Incontinence, vaginal dryness, those things.
Yeah. And I do want to reiterate what you said, that you want to do this with an experienced practitioner, a healthcare provider who specializes in hormones that does know a lot about this and the bioidentical hormones in particular. Bioidentical hormones are not something that all doctors prescribe. Only people that are trained to use them or are understanding, naturopathic doctors, functional medicine doctors, and other doctors that end up specializing in this. Because every woman is so different, and men will use bioidentical hormones too. And we're all so different, and what, you know, a troche might work well for one person, but then creams might work better for another person. Dosing can change. Somebody might not need estrogen or testosterone. There's so many different variabilities in this. So it's really important for people not to listen to this and then try and go and find this online and do it yourself. You can't, yeah. You don't want to do any of this yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing that, you know, when it comes, I mean, you can't get compounded formulations combined. It's only by prescription. And so, but one thing is that when you are using hormones, start at the lowest effective dose, and it does come in different, you know, different formulas. I will say that same two people can come in with the same problems and everyone go out with completely different, you know, solutions or plans. You know, we may use pellets, we may use injection. I never use estrogen pellets, but testosterone pellets in, you know, or injections. It really depends on the individual and what the capacity of the individual is for this regimen as well. So it can definitely make a big difference.
Yeah. And I want to go back for a minute. You talked about changes in vaginal health, like the dryness and irritation. Some women tend to get more urinary tract infections and yeast infections and things. So let's talk about some things that women can do, because you've actually found some great things that can help women with this, right?
Yeah, no. And this is one of the things that I've been working on, you know, for the past really decade of my practice, is solutions for women in these areas. Initially, very selfishly, I wanted the better surgical results. I wanted better and better surgical results for incontinence surgery. And I'm a board certified trained gynecologist. I did a lot of urogynecology. And so I started using compounding hormones, testosterone, DHEA vaginally, and getting really great results. And then, you know, really such great results that the clients didn't have symptoms of urinary incontinence anymore, right? And so couldn't operate. So to that level, and I really hope that for everyone. I hear so many younger and younger women with issues of incontinence that are scheduling for surgery. And really, we have to get to the underlying reasons why, and let's address that, or let's use some, you know, let's get some integrative support to this tissue and make that available. And that's one of the things I did with my product Jova that we talked about earlier. And I think that just makes a big difference. Let's use something directly to the area that will make a difference. If we can avoid surgery, let's do it. And if not, let's make sure we get the best surgical outcome that we can get. But when we are vulvar tissues aging around the tissues from our entire female bits, right? Our entire lady bits age, just like this, you know, we get wrinkles around the eyes, et cetera, we do in our pelvic floor. That causes, there's a weakening of the underlying muscles, the underlying connective tissue, and that leads to a lot of dryness, and that can be very painful, can also disrupt our relationships. And a secondary, sometimes primary reason for not wanting to have sex is that if it hurts every time you have sex, why would you want to have sex anyway, right? And it's often the 1+1 doesn't make 2 in those individuals. They never really see that connection, and it's important to make that connection and get that triaged, get that figured out.
Yeah, so before we started recording the podcast, you were telling me you actually have a tube of it with you, right? The Jova cream. Yeah, and so tell people what's in it. What did you put in, put in this cream?
Yeah, so this is Jova, and it is my feminine cream for ladies, feminine parts. I don't know if you can see that there. You go. This is a customized topical cream, and it's really great. I wanted something easy to use that smelled good, all natural ingredients, and that absorbed into the skin really well, so that you could use it as prior to foreplay or as a natural moisturizing lubricant to use for the vulvar area. And that can really help. The ingredients that I put in it were from years of clinical practice. I used, coconut oil. I use emu oil and DHEA and plant stem cells from the alpine rose, which are very, restorative and regenerative. So we tend to see this really beautiful improvement in the tissue right away with this combination. And the way I have it formulated is very specific to the order of ingredients that has worked the best, from years and years of practice working with sexual health in women. And it's a good combination. And so we use DHEA, a lot of safety studies on DHEA. A little bit goes a long way, and it helps with muscle. It helps with connective tissue. This is a fantastic moisturizer for the pelvic floor, for our feminine lady parts, because that does suffer with the symptoms of aging. Not to mention, we've been using chemicals in our detergent, in our panty liners, in our sanitary pads and tampons, and all those chemicals are toxic exposure. So that does affect our pelvic floor. We see thinning of the tissue, irritation, infections, etc. So keeping that tissue is really, really important. And I'm just smiling because I always say, one of the main reasons that caregivers or children will put their parents into a nursing home, their aging parents into a nursing home, is because of the issue of incontinence. And I'm always like, I am not giving my kids another reason. They could put me away now if they wanted to. I'm not giving them any additional reasons.
All right. Well, Dr. Anna, I was on your site earlier looking at some of the testimonials and things about the product. Tell people where they can find it. We'll also have the link up on my website.
Yeah, we'll offer your audience a free 7-night trial so you can get used to it. And that's at order.jova.com/trial. So order.jova.com/trial. But the main information is at jova.com, which is short for joyful vulva.
Okay. And this is for our lady parts.
Yes.
You could probably put it on your face, but
A little bit.
A little bit right here. Okay. Right around the eye area.
Yeah.
All right, great. And then also, Dr. Anna, tell everyone about how else they can find you, your website, any other information you want to share.
Yeah, absolutely. So my website is drannacabeca.com. So drannacabeca.com. And I've got great resources and blogs there. Also shout out on Facebook, and you can ask questions. I look forward to interacting with you. And this has been a pleasure, Trevor. Always great to talk with you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Anna. It's you're just a wealth of information, and I love talking hormones because this is something that I think is so important, and it changes so much as throughout our lives for both men and women. Today we're focusing on women's health, but I think it's so important. And the hormone disrupting chemicals that are in our environment, this plays a role in it, and there's so much we can do with our diet and lifestyle, and then we have the option for bioidentical hormones and then creams like yours. There are options for people. I see so many people struggling with these issues, and we don't have to. And so it's great to have you on and talk about the solutions and get the answers that we all need. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this interview today with Dr. Anna Cabeca. To learn more about her, you can go to thespadoctor.com, go to the podcast page with her interview, and you'll find all the information about her, plus the links that she mentioned and the transcription of the program. She covered a lot today, so the transcription might be a good thing to look at. And while you're there, I invite you to join the Spa Doctor community so you can see what other podcasts we have, blogs, different information. And you can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so you don't miss any of our upcoming shows. Also, if you haven't done so already, you can get your own customized skin evaluation at theskinquiz.com. It's free, takes just a few minutes, and you'll find out your unique skin type, which of the skin types you are, which is going to help you find out the root causes and what your magic mirror, your skin, is telling you about your overall health and tips to help you improve that. So just go to theskinquiz.com. Also, join me on social media on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. And also, I'll see you next time, I hope, on the Spa Doctor podcast.